This is Jan. Welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are broadcasting live from SkidRowStudios.com, Real Radio on the Internet, and we are here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur, some business tips, share some resources maybe, and just really talk about what our life is like. And if you have any questions, we would love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-893-9562. So today I am interviewing Catherine Jobert. Did I say it right? Oh my gosh. Okay, great. And welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me all about you. Tell me what you do.
Oh, wow. Where do I begin? How many hours do we have?
Tell me what you do, and then let's go back to, did you always know this is what you're doing, and how did you get to the path? How did you take this path?
Okay. So what do I do? Well, I'm a wardrobe stylist, which encompasses a lot of different things, but what I love to do is work with people, different people who need my help. So I do a lot of personal styling, and at the same time, I love being creative, so I love to do editorial for fashion magazines or music videos, so I like to touch upon all the different aspects of styling.
So how did you get here? Not today at the studio, which was a long and torturous path, but how did you get to the path that you're in? Did you always know that this is something you wanted to do?
No, but it's interesting. I knew from a young age that I loved fashion. And as a teenager, I was always sort of the one who looked different, who was kind of always a trendsetter in high school. Although some thought I was a little weird with my fashion choices. But at the same time, I was a little bit ahead of the trends. And so,
willing to take risk.
Yes, definitely. And look silly sometimes. So at that point, after high school, I went to a fashion school. So it started really early for me. But I wasn't taking it very seriously. I was young, you know, and I dropped out of the fashion school and just went to regular college. And for a long time, I sort of left the fashion world. Oh, I should say also that I worked in retail for a long time as well, doing visual merchandising and retail sale for high-end European brands. But I was young at the time, so that was just kind of a part-time job. And after that, I felt like traveling the world, and I went to Club Med and worked as a tour guide and did totally different things. And then wanted to work in the entertainment industry. That's how I came to LA, basically.
And originally you're from Vancouver, right?
No, Montreal.
Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, came to LA for the entertainment industry, and not to work in, you know, wardrobe design or costuming. I just didn't really know what I would want to do, but I wanted to be in the film industry.
So did you have, I mean, being in that, is that because it was perceived to be energetic, creative, exciting, mm-hmm. or was it because you were kind of thinking of heading down a different path?
There was something about LA and Hollywood and the entertainment industry and the film and TV world that appealed to me. And I just didn't know exactly at that time what I would want to do in that environment.
Or even could do, right?
Or could do, right. That's why I studied communications and film, which is, you know, communications is like a very broad...
Anything.
Yeah, you can do anything with
having
that.
A conversation right now or...
Yeah, you could be a brain surgeon later too. Yeah. So that's what I studied, and sure, I came here, and it was a difficult path because of immigration mostly, you know, being Canadian and having to move to LA and to another country, basically, and deal with immigration. I was limited. I couldn't do whatever I wanted to do. Maybe at the time, it would have been a good time to go into fashion and being my own boss, but I don't think I was ready for that. Financially, you know, I didn't have the tools and the wisdom for it.
Well, there's something about going out and because this is a show about entrepreneurs, I mean, I think it's a good time to point this out that all of the experience you got, whether it was working on the cruise ship or working at Club Med, mm-hmm. or whether it was working in retail, going to different schools, not just fashion school, but all of those things contribute to where you are today. Mm-hmm. And to come in and try and take on an industry, not even sure what you're doing anyway,
right.
You were able to applying those skills of research, making contacts and doing all of that, contributed to where you are now.
Yeah, I believe so too. I think, you know, it had to be the right timing in my life, and it feels like it was right when I made that choice to pursue styling and being a self-employed stylist.
So did you know anyone here when you came?
Just a couple of people, really. I had a job offer, but it was in the food industry. It was just practical because, you know,
it paid the bills.
It allowed me to have a work visa here, mm-hmm. and be legally employed, and that led me to become a permanent resident, and then eventually, well, recently I became a citizen. So
yes, congratulations.
Thank you. So I had to go through all this immigration stuff that sort of also dictated what I could or couldn't do.
Right.
So going back to the entertainment industry that I wanted to work in, eventually, when I got my permanent resident status, then everything was open to me. I could apply for any job. I could, you know, be here and work here any way I wanted to. So I pursued that entertainment industry world and ended up working at Fox for 7 years.
So not letting go of your dream and just continuing to push through whatever those obstacles were, mm-hmm. and move forward and look for opportunities too.
Yeah. And at the time, it was my dream. To work in a major studio. It was what I thought I wanted to do. I wasn't really thinking about styling or, you know, I really was interested in fashion, but I didn't think that's what I wanted to do. And what's interesting
is... That was just something of who you were.
Right, exactly. Right? It was my everyday life. But it's funny because it's working at Fox that made me discover this side of myself that I was really good with fashion advice, and because my coworkers, you know, I had we were a big team in the division I worked at.
The division? What were you doing?
I was in international theatrical distribution. So, you know, they take care of, they handle all the marketing worldwide of the movies, the Fox films.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were like 60 people on my floor alone. So
you're working at this job in marketing, mm-hmm. and learning the ropes and getting better at it and building community in that way.
Yeah.
And people are noticing, I'm just asking, but so people are noticing that, wow, she's so put together. Look at her. She's awesome. And you started giving out advice and then people start saying, you should do this.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Everybody was always coming to me for, you know, what do you think of these boots? Should I keep them, return them? They would, you know, always ask me for advice and always say, oh, Catherine, she's the fashionista of the division. And so I kind of became that go-to person to ask about any fashion advice. And my first client was actually one of my colleagues who was like, you know, you should start doing this. And I was like, you know, I really love it and it's fun and, you know, just taking people shopping. So I started doing it while I was working at Fox. I started doing a little bit of personal styling on
kind
weekends.
Of on the side.
Yeah, on the side whenever I had a little bit of time. So mostly weekends, and, you know, built my website. And so it was a slow sort of progress because I was working full time. So that's sort of how it started.
So isn't it interesting that, you know, sometimes we have these hidden talents, but we don't really recognize them as something that we can take forward and monetize. And then just someone saying something as simple as that, you mm-hmm. know, and you starting to be being open and paying attention mm-hmm. to what's kind of going on around you and what your strengths are. and pulling from those. Yeah. And then that turned out to be a career,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. something that you are obviously very good at and really love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you started to, and it's kind of nice that you were able to, sometimes people worry, oh, I've got to quit my job before I can start this thing. But
exactly.
but you were able to ease into it without having to just totally jump off the cliff and take
exactly.
this huge, great big risk, mm-hmm. perhaps, not knowing knowing you were good at it, but not knowing whether it was sustainable.
Exactly. No, and I didn't really do this purposely, you know, I wasn't that calculated about it, but that's all I could afford as far as time to dedicate to styling. But it was great because, yes, it allowed me to sort of build a little clientele, work out the little kinks and change my website a few times and try different things and there was no overhead. It's not like I have a storefront and monthly expenses. So I was able to do this without it being too much of a burden.
Now, did you build your own website? What made you think to even really build a website? Or you thought, oh, well, maybe I'll get a few clients from this? And
well, because this started in 2008, and even in 2008, if you didn't have a website,
then you're toast.
Yeah, you sort of have to have that. And nowadays, you absolutely have to.
Right.
But so that was sort of the first step, and sort of building my brand and sort of figuring out how to stand out from others. And I even had a DBA, you know, a certain name that I chose that I let go because I feel like my name is me, is who I am. It's unique because it's not unique, but it's unique for the U.S. because I have a French name, last name. So at least it's not, you know, Lisa Smith.
Which is a more common name. But let me ask you this. So did the marketing experience that you had that you learned and mm-hmm. and from working at Fox, did that really contribute to you going, oh, well, I know I need a website? Because a lot of people,
yeah.
You're young, so you would probably think that way normally anyway. But there are a lot of people thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to work with some friends, so why do I really need a website unless mm-hmm. I'm really thinking about going full scale and doing a
right.
business? But being young and already being a part of that whole social media environment mm-hmm. probably contributed to that. But and I do think it's great if you can ever brand yourself with your name, mm-hmm. that does help you to stand out, and it also really helps to build your brand. It's a little bit harder if you want to sell it down the road. So if you're planning on doing, there's some businesses that would be a lot more difficult,
right,
if it were your name versus another name. And that's something that entrepreneurs need to kind of think about, is
absolutely
what is the end game with what they're doing. But so
yeah, looking at the big picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is, you know, branding yourself with your name, but did that really contribute, because you didn't study business in school?
No.
And I'll ask a little bit later, you know, some of your influences and things like that. But so did that contribute and help, knowing, oh, well, if I'm going to do this, I have to market myself and I have mm-hmm. to get myself out there, having that experience?
Yeah, it did because, yeah, working on big feature films and marketing the films and having a very short window to, you know, get people to go to the theater and see the movie, and there are a lot of little strategies to use, and not that they all apply but to my business, but of course they certainly help, and it's definitely sort of how to stand out and pique someone's curiosity and seal the deal, basically. And I think that overall my experience at Fox, and it goes beyond the marketing skills that I learned there, just working for a Fortune 500 company and having to deal with international people, because I was working in that division where we were in contact with all the international offices. And so, you know, there are different cultures to deal with and approaches. It really helped me overall and in my communication with people And it taught me that if someone sends me an email, I should reply very quickly. And it's who I am anyway. I'm not very slow at replying to texts or emails. So I love, my clients love it that I'm always like, boom. You know, right. They send me a text, I reply right away. I'm always, and now there are no excuses. We have our phones with us. They're, you know, they can do anything. So it's not like, oh, I wasn't at my desk for the last 12 hours. Unless I'm on a shoot, then if I'm on a shoot on set, I don't have time to even look at my phone. But other than that, you know, yeah, it definitely taught me that I have to reply quickly to inquiries. And even if I don't know the answer, it's better to just say, you know what, let me think about this. I'll get back to you within the next 12 hours. But at least they know that you're not just ignoring or forgetting. So all these little sort of, I don't know, business etiquette.
And lessons.
And yeah. Lessons I've learned very well. And I've had a lot of people commenting on how quickly I respond and how, what's the word I'm looking for here? Available I am to them. And yeah. That's important to clients.
Well, it's making them feel special.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're not just another number.
Right.
You're really interested in what it is that they're doing and attentive to their needs. And if
right.
You're attentive to their needs with responding to an email, you're going to be attentive to their needs with responding to them as a client mm-hmm. and what it is that they need.
Yeah.
If they need a dress tomorrow, you're on it.
You right, know? Right.
Yeah,
like sometimes I have clients who will text me. They're in a store, you know, at Bloomingdale's, and they're debating on something and they send me a picture of it and they ask me, what do you think of this? Should I buy it? So, you know, they don't have 2 hours to wait for my answer. Of course, if I can't, I can't answer.
Right.
But usually, you know, I'm quick at that answer. So they know that they can just ask me on the spot. And if I see my text, my phone is right by me, I will answer right away. So those are all little things that I feel like just experience in general, like professional experience has taught me, but definitely working for a large corporation where you can't just space out and not.
Well, you get to see a lot of good things and probably mm-hmm. a lot of bad things because being in a big corporation, there's, first of all, they have really big budgets sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're starting out on your own, you're bootstrapping and you can't just go out and spend the kind of money that they might on marketing or doing that. So you have to mm-hmm. be a little bit more lean and mean,
right?
Perhaps, and you don't have people to delegate things to. You're often wearing all of the hats. So when you first started, you had your website, you got your name, you started out with a few clients. How did you decide on, how did you figure out the billing part of it? Like, here's what I'm going to charge. Because sometimes being I don't know if there's a specific class or certification mm-hmm. or something that you go and get that, but sometimes there's the, there's got to be a certain amount of confidence that you're qualified enough to charge them this kind of money.
Right. Yeah. And I've changed it many times, trust me, because it's if you look at stylists, it's all over the place. You know, the price points are not the same for, of course, a stylist who styles a lot of really high level celebrities is going to charge more. But it's really hard to determine where you fall really in that scale.
Did you figure that out? I mean, did you just come out very confident going, I've got valuable advice and people are willing to pay for it? Or did you come
sort of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's great. I am going to assume just that was built from everybody coming to you and asking for advice.
Yeah.
That's how you built up that confidence.
And I started, I started a little lower on that fee scale, of course, but it was also sort of, I researched it a bit too, just asking around or like looking at other stylist websites.
Perfect.
Because some of them do have pricing on their website, so you can kind of gauge where you know, where you're going with
that. Right.
So that was, I don't really do that anymore. Now I just kind of feel like I have an idea of what I should be charging. But back then I was looking at others to try to find where I fit in. And so, but
which is really great advice for other entrepreneurs to take a look at, because when you are looking at what am I going to charge, it has to be what the market will bear for one thing, but to also go out and do your research and for you to, that's a super important thing to do is you can't just come out and you don't want to undercharge.
No.
But you don't want to overcharge either. And so doing research to kind of find out what are other people charging and get a sense of what feels right for you.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about now is about the personal styling. But if you're a stylist working on commercials or music videos, that sort of side of the business, there are some sort of established day rates. So it's easier to see where you fit in because there are going rates, and of course some may charge a little higher or a little lower, but there's a kind of a standard, an industry standard that you can go by. But that's not the case for personal stylists. It's sort of a little bit more broad. So,
and even things like when you're, because you could get pinged to death, and I'm just trying to help anyone listening as well. But like someone sends you a text and says, should I buy this outfit? Should I buy this skirt, this pair of pants, this jacket, these shoes? And you send back, yes. Is that something you charge for? Is that something that's just for ongoing clients? That's part of the fee package? How do
it
you
is.
Build that into
I don't, it? I don't charge for those types of, you know, for that sort of advice. I feel like it's a little bonus that I make available basically with what I do. It would be difficult to even sort of put a price on it.
I just gave you 1 minute of my time.
But of course, if I had, you know, 30 people asking me every day, what do I do with this or where should I?
And then shopping for 2 hours, and now you've got a skirt and a pair of pants and shoes and a whole outfit together. That's a different kind of deal.
Right. So it's not, it's if it became too many people asking all the time, it would be difficult because it would end up taking a lot of my time. But at the moment, it's here and there, and it's not all the clients that do that. Some of them do, some don't. So...
And if it ever came to someone taking advantage, you would address that. And if it, and otherwise, it's just like a little extra perk.
Yeah, exactly.
That goes along with your services.
Yeah, and it's sort of keeping that relationship and that communication going.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know, I have clients who shop twice a year, just when the new season starts. So in between that, we may not talk for a few months, but if I tell them, look, if you ever have the need, like if you ever need advice on anything, you can text me or email me. So that kind of keeps it going.
Yeah, it keeps that relationship open. I think it's great. So when did you decide to make the leap? So you're doing this, it's fun. Wow, I actually could be a stylist.
Right.
And it's fun. And when did you say, wait a minute, I can really make a business out of this and leave your job. Maybe you didn't leave your job. Maybe you're still working.
No. I did leave. like I said, I started in 2008 to style on the side. But of course, the economy was terrible. It wasn't the right timing to just leave a nice job with benefits and just become an entrepreneur. So I had to wait and be patient, and at the same time, keep developing my business. And it's two and a half years ago. When was that? 2012? I came back from the holidays. We had a week off during New Year's, Christmas, New Year's. And I had been thinking, and I just wasn't really happy doing what I was doing anymore. And it was a catch-22, you know. I felt like, well, I need my job in a way, but at the same time, I can't really pursue the styling 100%, and it's sort of staying in one place. It's not moving forward, and it's because I'm already working 40 hours a week or sometimes more. So if I want to pursue this and make it a viable career, I think I need to just take that chance. And it's actually funny, one of my bosses was one who pushed me. She was like, you know, Catherine, you should just do it. I feel like you're just not really happy anymore doing what you're doing here, and you'd be great at it. You should just go for it. And this was like right after the holidays, coming back from the holidays. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. I need to do this. And so I planned it, because I, you know, knowing that I didn't have a job offer somewhere else, I could actually give them a long notice, basically, and not say, okay, well, I'm leaving in 2 weeks.
Right.
So I planned it a little bit, gave them, we established an end date, which was like 3 months later, I think.
Gave you a time to kind of save up, just in
exactly,
case.
And sort of figure out my finances also with all the benefit packages and all of that. And I even lined up a few jobs, knowing that, okay, my March 1st is my last day. I didn't want to like end on March 1st and then have nothing. And when you're used to working every day and then you end up with all this time to yourself, it could be scary.
Yeah, and you'd been used to going to a job every day.
Mm-hmm.
With being accountable. Somebody knew whether you were late or if you weren't there. I mean, I assume you worked the regular office hours.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And so being on your own without an office, without clocking in and people noticing that you're there, whether you have specific jobs or not, that's a whole new way of life.
Oh, absolutely. You have, you know, no structure.
Right.
You could stay in your pajamas all day and you know, you have to basically be very motivated and not just rest on your laurels. Basically,
right.
You have to be diligent with yourself and keep that structure in a way. And I still do. It's funny because I was working a 9-to-6 job and had the weekends off, I still treat the weekends differently than the weekdays, even though a lot of times I do work on weekends. But if I'm going to relax at the pool or do something really, you know, weekend-ish,
yeah,
it's going to be on a Saturday or Sunday. I try to stay away from doing that on a weekday. I feel like I need to be productive. And I think it's a good approach for me. Once in a while, of course, I'll decide to go to the beach and I'll go on a Tuesday or a weekday just because I want to avoid the crowds, the weekend crowds. And I can't do that now. But I still like to keep my weekdays as work days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good advice. So when you decided to make that leap, did you sit down and do a full business plan, or you just kind of sketched out some ideas and said, well, you know, I think I can do this. I've been marketing pretty effectively. I'm getting referrals. I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
I didn't do a business plan. I'm not really good with those, but it probably would help. I'm this type of person who just kind of wings it. So I sort of just went into it. I dove in. Like I said, I had lined up a few gigs right after my exit from Fox. So I had a photo shoot. I had a few clients. So I sort of just went for it.
And how did you find your clients? What was your marketing approach?
You know, I've been lucky so far, because it's usually a lot of inquiries straight from my website. So people find me online. And now, of course, with 2.5 years into this, people find me on Yelp and say, wow, you have great reviews on Yelp. So Yelp is helping as well. I have ways to also be, you know, in the search engines and blah, 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 being on the top pages. And so I do use those tools to my advantage. Most people find me just sort of randomly. And something about my website or me appeals to them. And I'm sure some of them end up going with somebody else because that person appeals to them more. So it's not all, it's just, you know, it's, I get some people who somehow feel like, oh, she's the one I want to work with. But I also get referrals. Of course, now I have a bigger clientele. So they come back or they send me their friends or husband. I've worked with couples. I started with the wife and then she's like, you know, my husband kind of needs help too. So it just sort of
builds upon
builds
itself.
That yeah. way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. So, was it all a bed of roses and sweetness when you went off on your own? Were you scared to death? Were you?
You know, I really wasn't. The only times I got scared or I still get scared is if I have a bad month, which it does happens. Still happen, you know, and now I'm more consistent, but there are months in this industry that are notoriously slow.
So you were able to start to learn kind of the ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had the economic situation in 2010. Did that affect you?
Not so much, no.
Okay.
No, it wasn't too bad. But I was still really, well, wait a minute. 2010, I was still at Fox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I started full time in
2012. 2014. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, it certainly didn't affect
me. So you
me.
Really started just as we were starting back to the road mm-hmm. to recovery a little bit. Yeah.
Right. And that's right. was part of the reason why I waited because
right.
the economy was so awful. Nobody was
right
would have hired me to go shopping, or very few. Of course, in LA there are a lot of wealthy people, but at the same time it just, even they were like tightening their belt just in case. So
sure.
So yeah.
So there are a lot of strengths that I've noticed as we've just had this conversation that I feel really contributed to your growing your business and mm-hmm. being successful at it. What would you identify as your strengths? And did you stop even though you didn't have a full business plan, and not that, especially kind of with what you're doing when you don't have that overhead and you're working mm-hmm. for yourself, you're not having to go out and get loans and things like that. It's not as critical to have
no.
something specific like that. What strengths did you sit down and think, oh, well, I'm really good at this and I'm really good at this and I'm really good at this?
Well, I think for me, what really helps is that is my people skills. People sort of, I have this sort of vivacious personality that's sort of people gravitate towards. I'm approachable, even though I may not be a certain style. My personal style may not be conservative. I still somehow get the conservative people to hire me and think, oh, she can do this, you know? So,
well, because you're listening to your client mm-hmm. and you're not just trying to force your style on your client.
Right, and that would be terrible to do. But some clients are worried about that. I've had clients asking me, well, are you, you know, they were concerned that maybe I would force them into a certain style that wouldn't make sense for them. And of course, you know, I always consider their age and what they do for a living and their day-to-day life and their body type, all of that. So it's not about cloning a bunch of people to look like me. But
you're bringing up a really good point, because you have to be unique and identify yourself, and you want to showcase and own your own style.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, letting customers know, and you don't have an opportunity to write a whole paragraph or read out a paragraph mm-hmm. or say a whole paragraph when you first meet them, you've got to be able to communicate that. So that's another place where your communication skills really come in handy, that you can communicate that you can mm-hmm. work with any style and any
right.
any person male or female or whatever, mm-hmm. To help them identify what their style is. Because I know for myself, even like going to a hairdresser, you know, their hair may not look like mine, but does that mean that they can't do my hair?
Exactly.
So, and some of the best ones, their hair doesn't look anything like mine.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, you know, it's great that they're owning their style. So that's really important to still retain who you are, but be able to communicate. So that's a great skill to have. What are the other things?
Well, the other skill is something we already discussed, but the fact that I'm on top of things and I'm very professional and methodical in my approach with clients. So they know that, oh, okay, Catherine, if she says she'll do this or she wants, someone wants a mood board for ideas and I tell them, oh, you'll get it by the end of day tomorrow, they will get it. And they know that. They may not know at first, but they learn it quickly that I'm right. Dependable and reliable, I mean.
Well, both.
yeah, that's true. So that's definitely a skill that is important in this business because, well, I hate to say this, but people in LA tend to have, especially in the creative people and artists, we tend to have a lot of flaky people and in that business that aren't that show up 45 minutes late to set, or they forgot something, or they're just unreliable. And so when you are always, you know, on time or at least within, I may be 5-10 minutes late here and there, but that in LA is sort of acceptable.
Oh, well, it is because you can, you're either going to be 30 minutes early or 30
exactly.
minutes late, almost,
right.
almost guaranteed.
But there are certain, if you're 30 minutes and more, late, especially when I'm meeting a client and they're standing there at the mall, I don't want them to stand there and wait.
Right.
So
dependability and reliability is a real strength that contributes to the success of your business as well. And yes, I think that's super important. Mm-hmm. I also see that you have a lot of determination.
Yes. That's true.
and that organized, I love that you keep that work schedule. Mm-hmm. And if that works for you, I mean, some people want to become entrepreneurs simply because they want that flexibility. And especially mm-hmm. if they're moms or things like that, they want to be able to pick their kids up from school be able to have those kind of opportunities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make them any work less hard or anything like that. But there is something to be said for that mm-hmm. that kind of flexibility.
Right. And I love it. And I do take advantage of it. It's not like I work.
And you have
a very
it if you want it.
Exactly.
You know, you have it if you want it. It just means that also understanding what works best for you. And that's what mm-hmm. you're saying is this works best for me. That doesn't mean that, and you said that the structure works really well for me. But
yeah, I need a little bit of structure.
Yeah.
And a little bit of routine, although too much routine is what really sort of
burned
me out. But at the same time, like usually mornings are for me to answer all my emails on the computer rather than like on my iPhone as I'm headed somewhere. So it's sort of when I do most of my work, whether it's paperwork or computer work or updating my website or sending emails out or something like that. It's sort of a nice little ritual that I enjoy, you know, with my coffee and sort of taking my time in the morning to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And then I can go out and do things and have clients. And
that also helps you to be far more productive as mm-hmm. well. And mm-hmm. then just the fact that you're a risk taker, I think is really important, great for being an entrepreneur and also especially with the business that you're in. You know, if you're just always, your clients are looking to you to let them take that risk because otherwise they'd probably just wear the same thing every day.
Right. No, exactly. No, and that's a very good point. I try to push them outside of their boundaries a little bit with a certain, without going overboard, of course.
Right, right. Still staying true to who they are and what works best for them as mm-hmm. well. I just want to remind anybody who's listening, if you want to call in, you can. The number's 1-800-893-9562, and we would love to hear from you. What has been, I also want to ask if there were mentors in your life in terms of how do, starting a business, you were doing things that were natural for you because people had been coming to you for advice, and so that was just kind of natural to move into that. But then there's the business side, and maybe, yes, you had some marketing experience, but how did you know, how did you find out and figure out how to go start this business, how to go get a name? Now all of a sudden you've got to start paying taxes in a different kind of way. I don't know if there's rules and regulations, mm-hmm. but you had to kind of research whether there were certain things that you had to do. And do most people who are stylists have a whole wardrobe of clothes to go pull from? Or how do I get these clothes? I don't know if you, mm-hmm. if it's like an interior designer, if you get the clothes at a discount and you're able to pass that on to your clients, or whether there's a markup there. I don't know how that works.
Oh, I mean, I'm still learning a lot of it because it changes as well. But I don't really have specific mentors. One of my good friends, Jennifer, she's always been a businesswoman, completely different kinds of businesses. But she has helped me with the pricing and fee structure and how to send a proposal to a bigger potential client.
How to collect money.
I haven't had problems with that.
Some people do.
Touching wood. But the proposals was something that she really helped me with because I didn't really know how to put that together in writing and the right wording. And so she's definitely helped me on certain business aspects of my job. Otherwise, I just learn as I go. With boutiques or stores, it works differently. Some of them, if I pull from them, they might charge me a 20% fee or restocking fee. But some of them, that in part of the 20% is that I get to keep 20% of the merchandise, but I have to pay for it, but it's yours, as opposed to just a 20% restock, and then I get nothing in the end. So it's more like a rental. So every merchant or brand is different. There are certain brands who or stores that actually let you pull for free, basically a certain amount of number of items, and some of them are more flexible than others as far as how long you can have it out. So it's something you kind of learn as you go. And
building relationships with those stores.
Exactly. And some of them I love, and I, you know, they know they can, again, count on me for returning the things in perfect condition and in the right timing that we had established. So they know now, oh, well, Catherine, she's fine. You know, she can take whatever she wants. So definitely building relationships with stores and employees and treating them with kindness because they're helping you with your business, you know, and you're helping each other. But still, you know, some of them are great and they're always there to help, you know, and also brands directly here in downtown, showrooms. Some of them are amazing to work with, and it's a relationship that we build, and it makes it great whenever I go back and I'm working on another job and I can get to see them again. So, I've been learning sort of on my own, honestly, and the whole tax thing, all this minutia is something that I really struggle with. But over time, you understand the basics and you kind of go along with it. So
do what you have to, mm-hmm. right? But also sometimes people go, well, this is not my strength, so I delegate that, or I hire that out, or,
right.
or things like that. So
that's true.
Now, so what are some of the things, and I'm not asking you to give away your secret sauce, but what are some of the things that you do that make you special, that make, besides your name, like, do you go and find, like, some of these designers that maybe everybody doesn't discover new designers, be able to help bring their clothing to your clients so that they're not just going to all of the traditional stores or...
Yeah, that's definitely an aspect, but I'm not the only one who does that. So that, in a way, doesn't make me special because a lot of other stylists are as resourceful. So it's really just how people click with you is is an important factor. It's just like dating in a way.
Yeah.
Finding a boyfriend or a girlfriend. There are certain people you'll...
But you have lots of boyfriends and girlfriends.
Exactly. And some I like more than others and vice versa. But it's really like, it's a personal thing for them. You know, a lot of my personal clients, they change in front of me in their, you know, underwear. And so it becomes a very sort of intimate relationship. I'm in their home. I'm in their closet. It's very personal. I judge what they wear, what they should keep, get rid of. So it becomes quickly sort of a close relationship. For some, it's close instantly. If we really click, it's like I'm their best friend all of a sudden. So for them, it's sort of a little bit of a leap of faith to hire a stylist and be in such a vulnerable position with them, being analyzed and for their choices. And so I have to have the right approach, too. I can make jokes about, oh, my God, how long have you had this? It's straight from the 70s, isn't it? And I know who I can kind of joke with and who won't take it so personally and it'll make it even a little bit more fun of an experience if we're doing a closet editing and we're having fun doing it as opposed to being so serious. It's not, you know, it's not surgery. It's more, you know, making sure that everything that's in there reflects who you are and puts you in your best light. So I always, that's what is in the forefront when we're working together is I want to make you look even better than you already look and feel even better than you do. And your wardrobe is so important for that. So I forgot where I was going with this.
Well, we were just talking about, I'm just thinking of like things that you've got to also be, it was kind of like what is your secret sauce.
And, oh, right.
And, but I'm also like hearing other strengths and skill sets that are coming out with being intuitive.
Intuitive is a good one.
You know, that's very important. And also, like you said, because they're in such a vulnerable place with being able to bring a little humor, because it would be really, I'm sure that they're, I'm just imagining if you were to come to my closet, I'd be going, I'm embarrassed, I'm this, I'm that. So you having to not only be intuitive, but there also needs to be some comic relief too, because if you're just serious and, well, I don't think this works and trying to make sure you're politically correct with everything you say so that you don't hurt my feelings or make me feel uncomfortable or stupid or whatever, then you've got to be able to have those little funny-isms or whatever to be able to make them feel at ease, make them feel okay with what you're doing. And obviously they're hiring you because they don't feel in that comfortable place in the to begin with. So I think that's really great. And I think that is a secret sauce. It's important to have.
I think it goes right back to my people skills. I really feel like I can, that intuition you're talking about and how to approach people in various ways. And that goes back to my days when I was working at Club Med, working with international people, being a tour guide, and also at Fox with, again, another big international group of people, which, you know, is there are lots of different cultures to deal with and age groups. And so I think all of that has made me more aware of how to approach people in different ways.
Well, I think what you're also saying too, and I'm looking at this as a secret kind of sauce thing as well, is that and helps you to stand out is having that international experience and having traveled and been exposed, or that international exposure, might I say. So there are obviously today, if you were a stylist 20 years ago, you wouldn't have had all those resources to know what's kind of up and coming. And if you're working, especially if you're working like in a small town or something, but even having the internet, you still, that doesn't give you that that full experience of integrating yourself into different cultures and different environments and and being inspired by those different influences.
Right.
And I could look at things on the internet all day, but there's nothing like having been to London or been to Africa or been to somewhere else and being influenced by those. So when you're looking at different things and looking at trends and projecting about what's going to be in the future and helping your clients to stay current, and also being aware of paying attention to these trends, that's not something you can just go on the internet and find. So I think that actually is really helpful to you as well, because you do have that international experience and you know, just the visual and being a part of those different cultures that have helped to influence you.
Right.
International influence,
And even my own background is international.
Right, so. Exactly. Right.
From my father from France, my grandmother Italian, so I've sort of always been in sort of a mixed culture kind of person.
Which explains that vibrant personality.
It's the Italian side.
Do you have a motto?
Yes, actually, it is on my website, and I may even paraphrase it, because it's not like I say it all the time, but whatever the project, I always stay classy, or something like that. About and I actually was going to touch upon that. I think having a really good, like impeccable taste is not necessarily true for all stylists. And that is shocking, I know, because if you're a stylist, you should have good taste. But I've seen the work of many stylists, and look at the red carpet, for example, and celebrities. Some of them, you wonder, who is her stylist?
Yeah.
She should get fired. So it's not true for everyone. And I'm really confident about that, because I know myself very well, and from everyone who's ever been in around me, I have good taste, and I'll never put someone in something that looks tacky or cheap or inappropriate for their body type or anything like that. And that's not something you can learn. It isn't.
That's just
it's either you have it or you don't. And a lot of people have it who aren't even in the fashion industry. You know that, this woman is always beautifully dressed and appropriately dressed, but some stylists don't have it. And I think the ones who do definitely stand out.
What is your website? Let's make sure we share what that is.
Yes, I have two. I have one more for personal styling that will show you how I do some outfitting for clients and talks about my packages for first-time clients, where we include the closet editing and then the shopping. So that one is my full name, CatherineJoubert.com.
And can you spell that?
Sure. It's CatherineJoubert. Joubert is Joubert. So that is my personal styling site. And my other website is mostly for industry people to see my portfolio of work that I've done for print, editorial, music video, and such. And it is Joubert Styling. So it's Joubert styling.com.
Great. Now, what do you love most about your job?
I love meeting a variety of people. I'm a people person. I love being around people all the time. I don't like to be isolated. So it's just being in the company of various people all the time, and some of them I do get to see again, and I'm so happy. So it's not just always new people. I like the idea of meeting new people, but I also love that sort of comforting thing of, oh, I love this client. I've seen her so many times, and I'm so happy to see her again. So that's the most rewarding thing for me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This has been really wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks.